Hello all, I'm your host Crystal, here for an exciting episode of Crime and Tea. I know I've been a little absent, but I'm just going at my own pace, so forgive me. There isn't too much to chit-chat about, so we're going to get right into Samuel Little. If you know this name, then you know this person has been dubbed to be the most prolific serial killer in the US by the FBI. If you don't have any idea who this man is, then get ready to learn all about him. So with that, grab your tea, coffee, or something cozy, and let's get into it. So, Samuel Little was born in Reynolds, Georgia on June 7, 1940. He was born to a prostitute of a mother who was unable to take care of him. It is thought that he was actually born in jail because she may have or may not have been arrested at the time of his birth. But therefore, his maternal grandmother took over for the duty of parenting him. Shortly thereafter his birth, they moved to Lorain, Ohio, where Little spent most of his childhood. He had issues with discipline and achievements attending Hawthorne Junior High. Sometime later, in 1956, at only 16, he was convicted of breaking and entering into a property in Omaha, Nebraska. For this, he was held in an institution for juvenile offenders in Lancaster, Ohio, which didn't have anything good going on there. He'd go on to be arrested an additional 26 times between 1957 to 1975 in 11 different states on charges of shoplifting, fraud, driving under the influence, assault, armed robbery, and rape, and many other things. He served a total of only 10 years for these various crimes, and he managed to evade two murder charges. During his time in prison, he took up boxing as a middleweight with other inmates. This would be where he got his know-how in easily subduing his victims. He always bragged about how he could have been a prize fighter, but he never pursued that avenue. You can see in one of his confession tapes on the FBI website him boasting about his fighting prowess. One of the biggest reasons Sam wasn't caught sooner was because of his victim selection. All of his victims and alleged victims were all of the, quote, less dead, as many put it. Transients, prostitutes, drug addicts, and the like. Many of them were also of color, and around this time there was a lot of racism present. They were just simply not as big of a concern, with many being labeled accidental deaths or drug overdoses. Little was quoted, "I never killed no senators or governors or fancy New York journalists, nothing like that," Little told the New York Times. "I stayed in the ghettos." At the start of his crimes, Little used to knock his victims out and proceed to strangle them. Without many exterior wounds like a knife or gun wound, it was hard to determine the actual cause of death at the time. LAPD dubbed him with the name Choke and Stroke Killer by his MO, which was while he would strangle his victims with one hand, he would masturbate with the other. Ew. Little had it in his mind that he was playing God by putting his victims out of their misery and doing a good deed. In the same token, he also felt he was possessed by the devil, he had said. In December 1976, he was arrested in regard to an assault and intended rape of Pamela K. Smith. He only served 3 months in jail for this ordeal. Sometime later, he was again detained for shoplifting, but this time the police noted he matched the description of a 22-year-old murder victim, Melinda LaPree. He did go to trial for this case, but ultimately was found not guilty. This wasn't the only charge pending on him at the time. He was being investigated about another murder in Florida. 26-year-old Patricia Ann Mount's remains had been found in the Forest Grove. Alas, in January of 1984, he was again acquitted. Yet again, Samuel was arrested for an attempted murder of Laurie Barros. He was sentenced to a 4-year term, but only served 2.5 years upon being paroled on February 1st of 1987. He moved to Los Angeles. He moved in with longtime girlfriend of his, Jean, who would support them through shoplifting, as he continued on his crime spree till he finally got caught up. It wasn't until 2012 that Little was found at a Kentucky homeless shelter and taken into custody and transferred to LA for an outstanding drug charge. This is where he gets caught up and his DNA was tested, and with that, he was connected to 3 murders in California from 1987 to 1989. So there was an investigator, Mitzi Roberts, who was trying to get solid evidence on a cold case with common DNA of Sam's found on both the women. Due to the fact the women were prostitutes, it was just considered circumstantial finding his DNA on them. She needed hard evidence to solve the murders of Audrey Nelson from August 1989 and Guadalupe Apodaca a month later. She figured the more digging she did, the more likely she would be to connect him to similar cases. She got a hit after a lot of investigating. They were able to search up all of Sam's aliases he was using all over the country. Little by little, all of the evidence pulled up high. Between arrest records, his rap sheet, and vehicle searches, they were able to see him for what he was and what he was doing. He was hiding in plain sight. He is getting away with things time and time again with minimal punishment. The search started by looking into some of the most violent of Sam's crimes, starting with September 1976. He had been arrested for the rape assault with great bodily injury and robbery of Pamela K. Smith in Sunset Hills, Missouri. She managed to run away from him half-naked by running to a random doorstep. He strangled, bitten, beaten, and sodomized this poor woman. He got away with a smaller assault charge, something called attempt to ravish, and only served a meager 3 months in prison. Time and time again, similar crimes and either no punishment for Sam or a much lesser sentence than what was truly deserved. Then came two pieces of the bigger puzzle. Hilda Nelson and Layla McLean, who were interviewed during the murder investigation of 23-year-old Melinda LaPree from Pascagoula, Mississippi, Nelson and McLean had both admitted they were also assaulted by Sam. With Roberts now reinvestigating, she managed to get one more DNA hit for 41-year-old Carol Alford, who had been found strangled in a residential alleyway in South Central July 1987. This gave her what she needed to pursue Sam. January 2013, Assistant District Attorney Beth Silverman filed three murder charges against Sam. Roberts and her partner, Rick Jackson, traveled all the way to Pascagoula, Mississippi, to convince Nelson and McLean to come back to LA and testify against Sam at the upcoming trial. This was what really solidified things for the jury, along with lots of other solid evidence and a great closing argument from prosecutor Silverman. September 2nd, 2014, Samuel Little was finally convicted of three counts of first-degree murder. The next time Roberts would see Sam was a few months later in Decatur, Texas. Texas Ranger James Holland had heard about Little through a Florida cold case investigator, thinking he could be connected to one of his cases. In order to get Sam, though, he would have to have a case in Texas jurisdiction. He quickly got a team together, and sure enough, they were able to find three possible murders. Holland made his move and got some information from Roberts on Sam and how to approach him. Slowly but surely, Holland was able to build a rapport with Little and eventually succeeded in convincing Sam to admit Denise Brothers' murder. He was able to make a deal by moving Sam to a prison in Texas to get away from investigator Roberts. He would also get a chocolate milkshake and a ride on a fancy private jet. For these favors, Sam agreed to confess the rest of his crimes. Sam put on a show for everyone at first before he confessed, acting like he wasn't going to say anything. Quote, "Those dogs, I ain't saying shit. This is bullshit. I ain't telling you fucking nothing. Those lying bastards. Fucking cops. They think I did it, so they set me up. They know I did it, so they set me up. It was the Mexican mafia killed that bitch. I can't even pronounce her name." However, Holland was able to read Sam, and he was able to get him to start confessing after some sweet talking. Holland and his team began contacting law enforcement officers from all over New Mexico, California, South Carolina, and Kentucky. His team would swiftly go about contacting the officials from whatever area Sam would end up confessing. They would then set up interviews at the Decatur prison where Sam would go over the murder and draw a picture of the victim. To this day, only 50 of his admonished crimes have been confirmed, with many still pending as there was a total of 93 he had confessed to. If you head over to the FBI page of Sam, they go over all of his crimes he's confessed to on tape. He has also drawn pictures of all his victims. The FBI comprised a map also on this page that pins each picture to a location on a map. Locations without pictures are either confirmed or in the process, but the FBI is still asking for people to come forward if they happen to recognize any of the women, either by description or by the drawing. If you happen to have any info in regards to any of the women, you can contact the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI or submit a tip online at tips.fbi.gov. If you want any additional information on his victims, you can also head over to the FBI page, as I won't cover the full extent of all of the victims due to the sheer number of them. Samuel Little died December 30th, 2020, in an LA hospital. Little had diabetes and was bound to a wheelchair, as well as a heart condition with many other health complications. They deemed he died of natural causes as he was 80 years old. Well, that was a pretty heavy case, but I want to thank you guys so much for taking time to come and hang out with me. I know things got a bit dark over there, but if you made it through all of that, you're a trooper. As always, if you want to see my pics related to the case, you can head over to the Instagram at Crime and Tea. You can also send me a Gmail over to crimeandteapodcast@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or whatever you'd like. And if you were interested at all making a donation, you can use the Anchor link in the description below. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. Till next time's tea. Bye-bye.